Get yourself a Yahoo today, boys. If you can't, make sure you get a Yoo-hoo. If you can't get a Yahoo, get a Yoo-hoo. Welcome to Chaos Theory on this wonderful Athlete of the Week, Hump Day Wednesday, man. We will be getting to, we've got some water polo to talk about today, Rodney. Nice. Some water polo in our Athlete of the Week segment here. But also welcome everybody that's just watching the chaotic process of this show come afloat here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. It is Wags and Double R. You can find me on Twitter at Not the Fake Wags. You can find Double R there at the Rodney R, and then the underscore Rodney R on Instagram. And then I'm on Instagram at the Wagner Wire and all other social media platforms that way. If you are out and about mobile, make sure you hit us up on that Coda text line, 512-222-9328. Also, smash that subscribe button if you hadn't done so already. And make sure you get a part of this conversation, man. Share it with friends, as we like to say. All right, everybody. Welcome. Now that we've, got the Yoo-hoo out and we've gone to Chuck E. Cheese and we've gone to Dave and Buster's. I think the last time I went to Dave and Buster's, Reed was like six, I think. Yeah. And he had a couple of friends over, and that's BK kind of hit it right on the head. You eat at Dave and Buster's because you have to go there, right? And I didn't even know they had pizza at Dave and Buster's. I just thought they had chicken tenders and fries. That's it.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've been there. It was usually those birthday party type things where we would go. But I got to tell you what's been ruined for me. I mean, because right here near me, we've got, the Gaddy Land that I always talk about. Gaddy. And it's like, man, the Mr. Gaddy's Buffet. I love that. But I actually did stop in there one time. I had a meeting, and they've separated it to where you can kind of eat away from all the nonsense going on the other side. But those places, it's like now with my kids grown, I'm like, I do not miss those places at all, man. I drive by there and I'm like, holy shit, my guts hurt.
Just looking at the signs, your guts hurt. Just looking at all my the signs.
It's like, oh, geez Louise. Hey, Butt Munch on the Coda text line.
Butt Munch.
I like that. Butt Munch. I go to Olive Garden once a year. It's decent, but super expensive. They're all expensive. Everything is expensive.
I'm not embellishing here. I've only been to Olive Garden one time, and I think I was either 18 or 19. I was in school still because it was either I can't remember. It was homecoming or prom. I think it was homecoming and not prom though. High school was the last time I've gone to an Olive Garden. And hell, that was what, 20 years ago? Carry the three. like 20 years ago. We're not going to do, solid math. Well, Maryland public school system, man. I wasn't really that good at math. But anyways, it was a long time ago. It was a good bit ago. Wasn't exactly 20 years, but it was long enough.
Oh, okay. Is that a shot to the chin? No, I'm just kidding. What we figured out is like with Olive Garden, it's like it's much cheaper to make spaghetti and lasagna and do all that shit at home. For what you pay. I mean, go to HEB, get one of them frozen lasagnas, put it in there for 2 hours, have a bottle of wine, boom, you're ready to go. It's better than being at the Olive Garden.
I can't remember the quality of pasta at the Olive Garden. Is it good?
Dude, you can make better at home. I promise you can make better at home. Longhorn fan from Denton. CC's is where the little kids pick up a slice of pizza and decide they don't want it and put it back.
I'm telling you, I'm not messing around when I was telling that story about Chuck E. Cheese, man. The dude literally just picked up pizza that was probably like that. Kids putting it back down on the damn tray or whatnot, and then picking the pizza up. The Lucy's, the single slices off of the the table or whatnot, and then piecing them together to make a whole pie and then presenting that at the next table for the birthday party. Awful. God. Just disgusting.
Dude, that's
just disgusting, dude.
That's ridiculous.
You're backed up and you're trying to get all these pizza parties out of the way, but my God, dude, like.
How long ago was that? When was that?
That was... Reed must have been like four or three.
It's been a while. Okay.
At least 15 years.
Yeah.
At least 15 years. I avoid Dave and Buster's, Chuck E. Cheese. I avoid all. And when I have grandkids, we ain't going to that shit either. So
you ain't lying. We're doing that shit in the backyard. Talking about the breadsticks here at the Olive Garden. Another one. You guys ever been to Fazoli's? That's another one of those.
I've never heard of Fazoli's.
It's more of a fat. There's one actually right here at 183 and 620. right there on the corner. And you go in there and it's Italian. You can get lasagna, whatever, pizza, all that stuff. And they have the same thing right there where it's endless breadsticks. But I popped in there a while back and it's like spaghetti for $12. I'm like, shit, are you kidding me?
Fast food Italian, Double D says.
Fast food Italian. That's
I've never been to Fazoli. I don't even think I've heard of Fazoli's. I'll tell you what though, like we're on this breadstick and Italian type of crave in conversation real quick. If this might be a hot take and it might just be because I'm from the Northeast or whatnot. Mm-hmm. I haven't really seen too many of them down here or too many people that like them or rave about them a lot. But like you give me a really good calzone. Like a really good calzone, man. It's done up in a good Italian shop. Man, I'll take that over a piece of pizza. I really will, man. Like a good pepperoni, Italian sausage calzone. Shit, man. And again, talking about the breadsticks and the pizza got me on top of that. But I mentioned it because a really good calzone is hard to find down here in Austin, which you'd think it would be kind of opposite because Austin's, kind of a conglomerate of just Or an eclectic melting pot of everybody just coming together here.
So riddle me this.
Home Slice has the best calzones. Michael C. with the assist today. Michael C., thank you very much, sir. I'm gonna go to Home Slice and get a calzone.
So riddle me this. So and we can get to sports here at some point.
Riddle me this, Batman.
Riddle me this. Your thoughts on, like, Philly cheesesteak? Because it's like everybody does it now. And it's like, I've never had one in Philly, but I eat that and I'm like, okay, it kind of tastes like Arby's.
I've had a good Philly cheesesteak before. It's not my cup of tea. You know what I mean? It's just not. Now cheesesteaks are fantastic, but no, I'm just not like the chicken cheesesteaks, the regular cheesesteaks. I'm not a cheesesteak guy. Maybe I had one too many Steakums back in the day. I don't know. And growing up in egg beaters and Steakums. I'm not a Philly cheesesteak guy.
Yeah. Well, it's like me with barbecue. It's like growing up in Lockhart, when we only had three places back then, when we were in South Carolina a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, whatever it was, we were talking to a guy and he's like, what are you going to eat or whatever? And he's like, go get some barbecue. And he goes, oh, by the way, where are you from? And I told him, he's like, okay, then don't go have the barbecue because you're not going to like it. So, yeah. Food. Yeah, Austin is definitely a foodie town.
I would say so. Hey, sorry. We got some sports to talk about, man. You want to get into some baseball first before we get into a little bit of...
Do whatever you want.
I know you don't want to talk... I know you don't want to talk baseball.
But. No, my team won. My team won.
How about that? I mean, it was, back and forth. Or I think it was a damn...
Walk-off.
Two-run walk-off run. Yeah, man.
Two-run walk-off right there.
Let's get into it. I'll give you greens. Let's talk about your Houston Astros there.
I got to tell you, I've sat on here and beat, Jose Abreu. I've beat him up so many different times, there at first base.
You're a big fan of him, huh?
I know. My wife calls him my boyfriend. I talk about him so often. But I really thought that this was going to be something when you bring the next generation of first baseman in, the dude's going to sit on the bench. They're going to put him on the bench and he'll just sit there and earn his money. But they option him down to like the rookie league. And he's like, okay, I'll go.
I'll take it. Yeah.
I'll go. That's pretty classy. That's pretty classy right there.
Well, I think the writing was on the wall. I think everybody knew that, maybe, I don't know if he'll ever be, back up again, but I mean, he's not playing to the level of major league ball players, man. Or there appears to be somebody that in the succession plan is a lot better that can play or field first base than he can. The big thing about Abreu is that he's always had a bat, right? And when that bat goes to sleep, it's, where's the value of what he can provide in the lineup? That's the big question.
Well, and I think the powerful thing that I heard last night when they were talking about this, when Dana Brown was talking about, and Dana Brown, GM, I don't know if that was his deal or Jim. I think this was a Jim Crane deal when he was kind of the interim operations guy right there, player personnel guy there with the Astros. But where they said that they're going to like monitor him daily, and that Abreu actually told them, yeah, I want to go there because I need to be fixed. And I mean, for an all-star, to actually say that, it's like, okay, I mean, that's okay.
You can't fix the problem unless you identify the problem, Rodney.
That's exactly right.
He's admitting that, there's definitely a problem. He's not seeing the ball straight. He's not seeing the ball right. And he's struggling, you know, in the field, you know, absolutely struggling in the field.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
until he rights the ship, man, he's not going to get any better. And he's just going to, you know, continue to do himself a disservice if he doesn't get it fixed. So, the one thing that they talk about in leadership is knowing yourself and seeking self-improvement, right? Yeah. Identify the problems where you're weak at and then get better at it.
Well, and Wags, you know, you can, I mean, I'm sure that you can speak to this in detail where, I mean, it goes without saying, whether it's sports, whether it's business, whatever the hell.
Player evaluation?
If your head's not right. I mean, if your head's not right, the physical part's not going to be right. The whatever you're supposed to be doing. I mean, everything, family life, everything is not going to be right if your head's not on straight. If you're distracted, if you're worried, if you're depressed, if you're whatever. And I mean, I think that's the thing with Abreu, where you look at this guy. I mean, you look at him and it's like he just doesn't look right. So in confidence, you know, it's pretty good to be confident. I can tell you that from the racetrack days. When I lacked confidence and got in a race car, I'd probably go fuck up and wreck that car. So it hopefully that's what's going to happen to not the wrecking part, but hopefully Abreu goes and gets well. And maybe he'll become a factor once again for the Astros. Oh, well, he'll become a factor. He really hasn't been a factor for the Astros since he arrived in H-Town.
Rangers were all business last night, man.
He's old and fat.
What's that? He's old and fat. It happens. Oh, come on, Jake. Be nice. Be nice,
man. That's why I say sitting down, man. That's why I say sitting down and have a black background. You know?
Look, we already talked about it, man. Everybody knows that I'm not in the best shape. You know, anymore. I'm almost a perfect circle, as a matter of fact.
Okay, I'm in great shape. I'm round.
When Rodney shows up, he looks like he's a referee, right? Come on, that's what you get when you get KI Siri here, man. You get like, who the hell is this Motley Crue walking?
You know what,
the door?
Wags? I'm gonna go get me a whistle, and when we do the show, I'm gonna wear a whistle instead of ringing the bell. I'll be like,
I got a whistle for you, and I got a coaching. Blackboard, like a little chalkboard that, like a little flyer, like a little placket, what a clipboard, like a little clipboard with erasable marker on it that you can have as well if you want. I used to be, I was a peewee basketball coach.
Oh,
yeah, man. Rec league basketball coach,
dude.
It was fun. It was a good time. I
was like a first base umpire for little league for about four times, and after those parents got a hold of me with shit, I was like, I retire. I'm going to do something different. My God, calm down. They're eight. They're nine.
My
dude. I'm like,
hey, 19 runs in that ball game though last night, man. It seemed like the lumber was definitely there. Back and forth. I saw that it was knotted up at eight at one time, and then walk off dramatic fashion. You want to recap that for us a little bit?
It really was. I turned the game on and I wanted to see Loperfino. I wanted to see what, you know, effect he would have. And of course, he's out in center field. You had John Singleton over there playing first base. Got to see the first catch of Loperfino, whatever. But immediately, Wags, these guys are down 3-0. The Astros, they're down 3-0 in the first inning. And I'm thinking, holy shit.
And the Guardians can match, too. Like, Guardians are one of the top ball clubs in the league, man.
They can. That's one of those teams where I said, if they can keep some of those young dudes healthy, you know, that they could become a factor. Honestly, dude, I turned the shit off. I turned that game off.
You did?
I turned that game off. The wife was like, let's watch a crime show. I said, do it. Went to bed. I woke up and I saw 10-9. I said, wait a minute. What in the entire hell is going on here? So, hey, baby step. Still six games back. Six and a half games back.
Three in a row, man. Three in a row now for your Astros there, my guy.
Yep. Hey, Wags, Coda text line is like blowing up. Mandola.
What's going on in that Coda text line there?
Mandola's the best out of them all when it comes to the Italian stuff. Double F tacos in Elgin, easy the best. Well, that's a taco conversation, but something else. Our man Tom McKay, here we go. We love you guys, but you should both talk sports and not even try to play. The court doesn't deserve that abuse. Oh, come
on. What are you guys talking about? I'm a fantastic athlete. I would say I'm in tip-top shape still. Even though I can only give you 2 minutes of solid performance, you're getting all that you can get in that 2 minutes. I'm going to need a sub, right? I'm going to need a relief here coming up. I'll be ready to go after 30 minutes. 30 minutes after my break, I'll be ready to go again for another 2 minutes.
Sounds like my sex life, dude.
That's a little bit, little performance issues for you, Rodney?
A little bit of performance issues? Yeah, you know, one of those things. But anyway, good stuff.
Did you go to Reals for a calzone? Is it? Am I pronouncing that right? Reals?
Yeah.
Reales and home slice for a good calzone. All right. I appreciate you guys. We had the Orioles in action last night, beating up against the New York Yankees that seem to have been on one hell of a run, just, you know, a run, not hiatus, but just at a damn premium. I mean, they were scoring, I think they put up 30 runs in the past two games. The Yankees did before coming into the series, and the Orioles have kind of, I don't want to say it too confidently, but the Orioles have kind of, you know, put a silence on the lumber here. Soto went yard last night, of course. I mean, I think he hit it over the warehouse almost. But Dean Kramer looks fantastic. Only gave up two home runs, two long balls, but they were both single shots. Got seven frames in. We didn't have any relievers, any closers in the bullpen, our top closers in the bullpen last night. We had some guys that were able to come on and act as a reliever. Webb came out there and spun one hell of an inning there in the top frame. You know, seven pitches. All it took was seven pitches to get through that top of the ninth. And the Orioles were able to cruise out with a 4-2 victory, man. Looked good. When you can win in multiple fashions, you don't have to, you know, batter the lumber up completely and get, you know, crooked run frames or whatnot, or you can, you know, don't have to finish the damn contest with 10 runs in your damn, in your total for runs or whatnot. You can actually go out there and kind of win any which way you can. And that's what the Orioles are doing now, man. Still, it's neck and neck with the Yankees here in the AL East, man. We got a lot of season to still play, but look, I love what the Birds are doing right now. And look, you know, shout out to the Yankees too, man. Still able to do this. Cortez being their number one ace right now until Garrett Cole gets back. But yeah, man, that's a good series. I don't know if you guys are paying attention to that one or not, but out east, yeah, if you want to watch some good baseball, check out the Orioles and Yankees tonight.
Dude, that's a hell of a race right there in the East. I mean,
it's always a hell of a race.
Yeah, man. We can sit here and talk about where, you know, like, I think you've probably got about the same separation right there from first to last that you do in the AL West, except the difference is in the AL East, all the teams are good performing well
right
at this point. But I mean, the fact that the Orioles have surged ahead of
I would say every team in the AL East. You take the Rays, you take the Blue Jays, and put them in different
divisions. Even the Red Sox.
Tell me they're not at the top.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The AL, I mean, even with Boston. I mean, what are they? 17
Boston's
and 13?
A good team. That's the thing, too. Like, Boston, I know, dude. Boston's always got, you know, even when Boston's down or has a bad year, it just feels like, well, hell, it ain't the 80s Red Sox anymore, man. You know what I mean? Since the 80s, it feels like all these teams have taken a turn. Like, even, you know, the Yankees had down years in the 80s, too. Let's not forget that, right? But,
yeah.
Oh man, big market ball clubs are able to turn around so much fast. That's not a shock, right? Big market ball clubs can turn the damn thing around way faster than mid-market or small market clubs.
Hey, Longhorn Bear, talking about Abreu playing as a space cowboy in Sugarland. No, dude, it's worse than that. They sent his ass to Palm Beach.
Yeah,
they sent him to West Palm Beach. They're like, dude, get out of here. Go get well in West Palm Beach. Holy smoke. But yeah, that AL East right there, man. That's just good baseball. And the O's, dude, I'm going to give you your props, because it's like coming into the season, and I saw they were doing the MLB grades, I think, on The Athletic, where it came, you know, after the first month of the season. Astros with a flat ass F. Not surprising. But Baltimore with a good grade, and because they really have. I mean, your O's, man, they are stepping up and playing as to way that Quinn's the way that they were supposed to be expected. That's right.
Quinn's
That's
good, right. Got Gill versus Corbin, Burnsy on the bump tonight for the Birds. So make sure you guys tune into that. You'd like to think that it's going to go to the Birds with Corbin Burns on, or to the Birds with Corbin Burns on the mound. But hey, look, Anything's possible in baseball. We guys, we talk about that all the time. We also got some, you know, some athlete of the week to talk about. You know, it's the bottom of the hour. We'll get into that in just a couple minutes. But we got some playoff basketball and playoff hockey to get into. To get in touch with that as well. But before we do that, let's talk to you about audiovisual consultations. If you're watching playoff basketball or playoff hockey and, you know, you need to get that baseball in, you do it with audiovisual consultations. 512-255-8678. That's avconsultations.com. Setting the standard in audiovisual automation over the past 35 years since 1988. They are the best to do it. If you want two screens behind you or four screens behind you, it's all deadly, man. Get it done with avconsultations.com. If you don't know what you want, go to the website and look at the gallery of projects that they got over the past 35 years. And I guarantee you'll get an idea then, man, whether you want to watch, you know, Corbin Burns go out there and throw some smoke tonight or go out there and, you know, see Maxi, you know, go for 40, you know, the other night with the Philadelphia 76ers. It is all deadly with audiovisual consultations. 512-255-8678. That's avconsultations.com.
Right quick on baseball before we dive in a little bit further, Wags. Did you see them chingazos last night between Uribe and Siri?
No.
Oh, dude, Milwaukee and Tampa Bay. Holy shit. You want to talk about a bench clearing brawl? I was going to pull it up, but I don't know.
Like, I didn't see it live. I read the headline though.
Dude, you want to talk about getting sucker punched. I mean, it was like Uribe is like, I mean, they're jawing back and forth and doing all this stuff and Siri is there and it's just like boom, just hit him right here, dude. It's like, God dang, man.
Plus that he won't.
It was a hockey fight, dude. It was a hockey fight. I was going to pull it up and share the screen, but I know that the copyrights get all jacked up.
Hockey fights are different. Hockey fights are weird. Like, I don't know if you guys ever see, like, the key to winning in a hockey fight or whatever. But the thing is to have the left arm out, right? Now, if you're listening to me on the radio station, I'm going to try and articulate this as you know, good as possible. If you're on the Dakota text or Dakota – yeah, text line here. I'm going to try and articulate this as much as possible. So with the hockey fight, right, the best thing to do is to take your left arm or your lead arm and to grab the dude by the jersey right up underneath the neck and right where the shoulder pads are, right? Now, you're not just holding him out for leverage to kind of get your solid haymaker ready. You're using that standing punch or that standoff shield, right, to kind of push and pull. If you can push his jersey out a little bit and get him, you know, off balance on the skates, you can pull him back there. And then now you can take that lead hand, that stretch hand, and take the left hand and start knocking the shit out of the jaw, right? And just when he's a little bit knocked up, then you follow through with the haymaker and knock him off his skates and end the fight like that. That's where that's where hockey fighting comes in. Everybody's trying to do these
when they keep fighting.
Nah, man, you gotta do the push and pull little trick to get the guy off balance, and then you throw the haymaker, man.
Yeah, they keep fighting. I think that's a difference right there.
Well, until you can't fight when you're on the ice. You're not allowed to throw blows when you're on the ice. Once you're on the ice, you're done. It's done.
This thing last night, they're going back and forth, and Uribe is kind of walking off right there, and Siri's standing just like this dude. He's got his neck looked like Merton Hanks. He had his neck up like that, and it was just. Boom, slapped him right in the
Merton Hanks' neck went to outer space.
Another. Did you? I think I messaged you this yesterday. Mahomes went to WWE, became a bad guy, and Logan Paul went ahead like three rings and punched the other guy in the face. Guy in the face.
Now Mahomes is, we talked about, you know, who's the dude the other day, or punter. Pat McAfee going to the WWE or whatnot and making himself a splash. Now it looks, I mean, hell, you had Jason Kelce, WrestleMania or whatnot, and a few other, and Lane Johnson. Now you have, you know, Patrick Mahomes, basically the face of the NFL, you know, interacting with WWE. So it looks like there's going to be a lot of I won't say partnership because I don't know what it is, but interaction between NFL athletes and WWE athletes. Because, I mean, hell, man, a lot, you can argue that most of the WWE are kind of failed football players that just find themselves into the squared circle. I would think, hell, I know Roman Reigns played ball. I mean, most of them play ball, you know what I mean? And then they wind up, you know, once their football career is over or can't go on anymore, they kind of, you know, find another avenue of approach and get into wrestling or whatnot. But you know, having a co-host like Smash or whatnot, I've been able to find out all the little, details that happen with minor league wrestling, or so to speak, yeah. or when you're coming up trying to make it to the big stage. Smash used to wrestle too, so it's not the greatest life in the world, man. You talk about this being a labor of love.
Yeah.
Being on that wrestling scene, man, that's one of the labor of love too. But yeah, man. So Patrick Mahomes getting involved, and then I saw that his offensive linemen were there. So he was talking smack, and then the wrestler gets up in his face and he's, oh yeah, well, what about these dudes? And pulls up his offensive lineman, man.
Yeah. And of course, I mean, it's smart. I mean, it was in Kansas City. I mean, so, and WWE's
it's
done
great.
It.
It's good marketing, dude. They've done a good job of doing that.
Yeah, they've done a good job of doing that to where they brought it in. And like Jack's talking about here, must be a lot of good money in WWE. I think a lot of what WWE is trying to do here, and I talked to Stu about this last time that he was here. Well, I think with all the stuff going on with Vince McMahon, with whatever all that mess was, I think they're trying to be like, okay.
They're trying to turn the page.
Let's go to something else. And they're trying to become very mainstream. And I think it's a pretty damn smart move, to be honest with you. But with Logan Paul there, I mean, you've got the other fight coming up. And it's like, okay, you tie all that shit together. And it's just, you know, people get all fired up about it. And when do we talk about wrestling or wrestling show on here?
Logan Paul's a wrestler. Are you talking about Jake Paul?
I'm Jake Paul. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Jake Paul is Logan Paul's brother.
That's right. That's right. Yeah,
they're both fake fighters.
Tie in, yeah, yeah.
Both fake fighters. Like what Jake Paul is doing is not a real fight. Exhibition.
No.
I'll tell you what, he's got more. He's either insane or he's got more balls than I do to even want to try and mess with Tyson. it's not going to end well unless it's fixed, and it's not going to end well unless it's scripted. Jake.
Yeah.
Anyways, man. Yeah, it's when Undertaker threw Mankind off. Oh, dude.
That
was 20 years ago. Hell in a Cell, 20 years ago.
Long time ago.
He did it twice. He did it twice too, right? And it was all because Mankind or Mick Foley couldn't remember if the tax went into his back or not. Like that was the only thing that he was thinking about was, I got to get the tax in my back. Mick, you're so knocked out. I threw you off the top term or the top cage twice. The tax have already been into your back and fallen out. That's how bad it was, man. And then I think his tooth went up.
It was like pushed up. It was like sticking out. And you know, I remember when Owen Hart passed away. When all of that happened, dude, I hate to say,
I'm not laughing about Owen. That was awful. I'm laughing. I'm marveling at the fact that Mankind went through all that and survived.
Man, I hate to say it, with the Owen Hart thing, when that happened, I'm like, okay, so is that real? Like, so did he really pass? You know, because it was all the shit going on back then. It's like,
I think it was JR that actually came on. That actually had to announce that that news that Owen Hart had died, and he did it. I think he did it as soon as they came back from commercial.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I think that's when the announcement came. I think I have the, I have the unwanted or the awful, you know, duty of telling you guys that Owen Hart died. Like I remember, I was just like, holy shit! Like wow! Like
yeah.
It was JR and the King. Yep,
the King Lawler. Yeah. Well, it's like Mike Helton with NASCAR when Earnhardt passed, where he had to like stand in front of this assembled media and be like, after the last lap of the whatever, we've lost Dale Earnhardt. And they were like, well, what do you mean we've lost? And like the dude is like white as a ghost. And it's like when he says lost, he's fucking gone.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And Mike Helton has talked about that, how that was so. Oof. God damn. Sorry, Lord.
Oh, but, no, you're good. You're good.
That's crazy. Damn.
Sometimes you know it gets to you, that's for sure. All right, so it's you know what time it is. It's time for it is time for Athlete of the Week. Now I'm gonna try and find some good pictures of this. But now this is a Greece water polo Olympian. Okay, professional water polo. All right, they gotta be pros, Rodney. They gotta be pros, right?
That's right.
Now, they're ready for France, ready for Paris, gearing up here. I'm trying to pronounce her name correctly. Nicolette Eleftherodou. Now, remember, she's Greek. Okay. She's Greek.
We'll just call her Nikki.
Bringing her up. We'll go a few photos here. This is her stretching, getting ready for for water polo here. I guess, you know, taking the dog for a walk, going out to dinner.
At the Olive Garden.
At the Olive Garden, going to get some more breadsticks at the Olive Garden. More breadstick night. Probably with a...
Who's this jackstick?
I don't know. Probably some, you know, European soccer player or whatnot. Yeah, Greece looks fantastic. She looks fantastic.
Oh, man.
And then this is her hoisting the trophy up for when they won, water polo event. And she can get up and rise. She can get up over the water. Ooh. Fantastic. I can't pronounce her last name, but yeah, athlete of the week.
Greece is the word, my friend. Greece is the word.
Greece is the word. Greece is the word. Haven't you heard? It's well got a groove. Done. It's got a feeling.
Greece is the time. That place is emotion.
Good looking way we are feeling. Right there. Athlete of the week. Nicole.
Nikki. Yeah, well, just call
Nicole,
her Nikki.
Nicole AF. Nicole as fuck. Yeah, fantastic. My goodness. I'd like to play you. Yeah, same here. Yeah, absolute heartthrob, man. Again, if you guys got any candidates for Athlete of the Week, make sure you send us over. Hit us up on Instagram, not Twitter. Twitter's hard. And Rodney keeps sending me on Facebook.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Messages, too. I can't get into my Facebook, so.
Uh-oh. What happened?
I don't know. I was hacked or whatever. I'm actually getting ready to drop the whole Facebook stuff. The only way that I can post on Facebook is through Instagram, which is weird.
I got you.
So I got to make an Instagram post to actually have it post on Facebook. Unless I can actually hack into backdoor it into on my desktop or whatnot. But that's just too much work. It's just too much work, my guy.
That's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of clicking. A lot of clicking.
Yeah, play some Marco Polo with Nikki, huh? Hey, maybe. Maybe, but make sure you guys are tuning in to Paris for your Olympics. That's not just why we're doing that. We're not doing this to have, you know, tongue in cheek. They're beautiful women. They're good looking women. But we also are, you know, that is an intention to try and plug the Olympics for this year as well. So make sure you guys are tuning into the Olympics and watching all of our world athletes. Maybe you'll see some athletes out there.
Yeah, that's right. You'll say, hey, I saw that person on Chaos Theory.
I'm trying to pronounce this last name. Elephathurado, something like that. If you're all I know is Sa'agapo. Sa'agapo means I love you in Greece, and I was taught that when I was working at a bar in Baltimore. So, yeah, I would definitely say Sa'agapo a few times to her. Or in Issa Ugmafi Yaneka, which means you're a very beautiful woman.
That's right. Thank you.
That's all the stuff you need to know, Rodney. All right, you ready to get back into sports, huh?
Yeah, I once told a friend of mine trying to learn Spanish. I said, go tell that dude over there. Call him a puto. That means good friend. Yes, let's talk about some sports. How about some playoffs, my man? How about some playoffs?
Yeah, you want to get into some hockey first or get into some basketball first?
We do whichever one you want to do, my man.
Let's carve it up on the ice. Maple Leafs last night were able to extend the series and keep this thing going. They took game 5, 2-1 now, extending the series to a game 6 in Boston. Swayman was in goal last night. I'm pretty sure Swayman will probably stay in goal. I think they've been switching both goalies in and out. Swayman took the loss, took the L. I think Boston's just better with Swayman in there. I think anybody that has watched that team a good bit would also tell you that too. Also, like, you got to love the resiliency that you're seeing from the Maple Leafs, being able, you know, last game out of it, you know, last game. Until they're eliminated or whatnot, being able to persevere or whatnot and extend the series. Gotta love that. Also, the Islanders took a dive. I wouldn't say took a dive. I mean, the writing was kind of on the wall when the Islanders, score. It almost happened again last night with the Hurricanes. They scored 2 goals in a matter of 6 seconds or a matter of 10 seconds, it seemed like. And it kind of, the writing was on the wall when the Islanders were up massively in this series, and then the Hurricanes were able to come back and steal that game. That's when I basically knew, like, it's not going to happen for the Islanders. Again, I know each game tells a different story or whatnot, but that was a pretty big story. That was a pretty telling piece of how this series was going to go. And honestly, the Hurricanes are just one of the best teams in the East. I can't remember if Tom picked the Hurricanes or if he picked Boston. I'm pretty sure he picked the damn Hurricanes.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll check in on, because
those Caniacs were crazy last night. That's for sure, though, out there in Hurricane Land. But yeah, they were able to close the series out and right the ship. The Avalanche were able to finish the series up and take down the Jets in Winnipeg. We kind of talked about this. Colorado's just they are one hell of a scoring team, and they got one of the fastest dudes in the NHL with McKinnon or whatnot. And these guys just know how to turn it on. Also, the Predators were in action last night Predators and Canucks were in action last night trying to shore up this series and extend to keep it going, and they did so. Able to steal a 2-1 victory over Vancouver last night in Vancouver, extending this series and keeping it going, Rodney.
We were talking about this yesterday where we thought that, I mean, all these series could end last night. With Toronto and Boston, did you think that this series would get extended? Did you think that we would be 3-2 here, or did you?
No, I thought it was going to be done.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Johnny T, Tavares and Austin Matthews, they're, you know, the top scoring dudes on this ball club, man. And Austin Matthews, he's probably one of the best, you know, goal potters in all the league. But still, like, Boston's just so much of a tough team. Not only do they have the netminders, you know, they got the pairs as well, and they got some of the best. You know, they got probably arguably the top six squad, or maybe least lines one and two, or their top line and their second line is probably arguably the top in the East. I would say if I'm trying to put another six together, Florida's pretty damn good. The Rangers are good, but I would say that Boston's just got it off. I'd say Boston's the most balanced out of their top six.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I would say. Yep. I think the Rangers probably got, you know, out of all four lines, the Rangers are probably solid on the scoring front. All four lines of their guys can fly and they can score. Their fourth line, they're pretty much an enforcer line too. They can get after it, but they can still score. So I think the Rangers are pretty damn good on offense. I think they're probably the best offensive team, but the most balanced team, I would probably say it's Boston. Boston does it all. But hell, probably the best series in this East is going to be between the Hurricanes and Boston. We'll see though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I am glad.
I think the Rangers are a top club for a reason, man. But there's a lot of good teams in the East.
Well, I'm glad tonight. I'm glad the game tonight with Las Vegas and Dallas is in Dallas, because that means it's going to be the early puck drop. So we'll get that early on. And man,
If you watch Dallas in Dallas, you're going to have a little bit of reluctancy. You'll wish that it was kind of on the road a little bit. Dallas seems to get off to a slow start when they're at home or whatnot. But again, it looks like, you know, over the past two games, it looks like Dallas has kind of figured out their scoring issues, right? And it feels like the
I'm just worried it's a home game.
No,
for Dallas.
It feels like the identity that this team had in game two or games one and two, it feels like it's kind of taken a bit of a different leap or maybe an exchange, right? It feels like Dallas is now blocking a lot more shots than Vegas. And it feels like, you know, pucks aren't getting to Ott. I feel like, well, of course they're, you know, he's still getting the saves or whatnot, but I feel like the defensive pairs are starting to block a lot more shots, and Ottinger's not getting, you know, battered up and having to make, you know, 35 saves and 40 saves a night or whatnot. And honestly, what we were talking about last week, Dallas is starting to score again. Dallas is starting to put shots on net and starting to get back into their regular season groove, to where they were one of the top scoring teams. So it's going to be a good season, or going to be a good matchup tonight. I think Dallas takes it, even though we're back at home. Even though Dallas is back at home, I still think Dallas has a chance to kind of get this thing into the right spot to where they are and kind of take full advantage of this series and come up with a 3-2 advantage after tonight.
I don't know, dude. The damn Las Vegas, man. They're God, you want to talk about scrappy.
They're good thing grinding out. We talked about it last week.
It does seem that Dallas is taking a little bit better control of the series right now. From the way it started. Right quick, Jack. I've been a baseball play-by-play guy for about 10 years. Not currently doing any baseball. I've been off of baseball for about 2.5 years, but yeah, lots and lots of baseball games. But you got the Mavericks tonight too with the Clippers. So if you're a Dallas sports fan tonight, you have nothing to do. You have nothing to do but sit around and think about Zeke Elliott being your running back.
Line on this right now.
I don't know, but Bucky took the stars. Bucky took the stars, I'll tell you that. So,
135 to the good right now for Vegas, which makes sense, right? Because they're in Dallas. I don't know. I'm not even gonna touch. I probably won't even touch, man. I'll just watch it.
Too close
for me, my guys. Too close.
No, it's definitely close. But I mean, I'm just kind of going back to the struggles there. Like I think Jake mentioned it with the struggles there at the American Airlines Center for the Maverick or. For the Stars, it's like, man, I don't know, man. I'd like to think that the series has shifted, but I don't know.
No, I mean, one thing, it just looks like Dallas, and, you know, case in point, like, when's the last time you've seen Sagan miss two open, like, go back to the game the other night, even though they got the win or whatnot, when's the last time you've seen Sagan miss two breakaways? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that, it's just... uncharacteristic offense coming from Dallas, which is a really high-powered offensive team. I think they've started to right the ship a little bit. I think they figured it out, and we'll see how it prevails coming up in tonight. Again, four goals the other night. I think, you know, that's a telling sign that, you know, they're starting to see a little bit more of open nets instead of, you know, what they're usually seeing with Thompson just blocking the damn net. When Logan Thompson's on like he was the other night, you're going to have to put up 50 shots on goal just to get something past him, man. He's impressed me pretty damn good in the series, man.
Yep, big one tonight. Series tied at 2-2. Hey, right, quick wags before we get any further, because we're about 9 minutes out. How about a word from our friends at covertbeecave.com?
Hi, I'm Dan Covert with my wife, Hayden. Welcome to Covert Bee Cave.
Our newest location in the gorgeous Hill Country includes Buick GMC, Cadillac Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, and hundreds of pre-owned and certified vehicles for you to choose from. We have 3 service departments that are ready to take care of your car, truck, or SUV with 86 service bays to accommodate any repair and get you in and out quickly. Come visit us today to select the vehicle you've been dreaming about.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
That's right. Generations of Central Texans since 1909, the Covert family. Nobody beats a Covert deal. Not now. Sure as hell, not ever.
Now, you could say that it was faking injuries or if it was strategically wanting to face Dallas instead of another club. But yeah, it's I kind of agree with Jake here. You know, Stone not playing in the last couple of games, you know, basically Vegas was throwing to get to the 8 spot so that they could play Dallas. It was just a better matchup for them. It looked like it was working out for the first 2 games, that's for sure. But Dallas was able to right the ship in the last in games 3 and 4. And hopefully hopefully Dallas can keep on and keep that, keep that momentum going and take game 5 tonight. But yeah, we have some NBA to talk about as well. Maxi last night, we talked about the 76ers would need more, you know, just key cog players to be able to make this a contest and extend this series. They didn't need that last night. Maxi went off and so did Embiid. But again, this isn't the recipe for success, right? It's just not. And of course, you know, Hart missing some free throws. I mean, tremendous free throws, killer free throws late in the game. And then, you know, uncharacteristic turnovers by Jalen Brunson trying to find who was in the corner, going up to hit. I think it might have been Hart in the corner. I can't remember. But anyways, Brunson, you know, had a late turnover in overtime too, which kind of gave possession back to the 76ers, and they were able to come down and get the go-ahead basket. Anybody's going to go off and have a 40-point night like that and be, you know, just ice cold and daggers from the perimeter like Maxey was, it's going to be tough to stop. And then couple that with Joel Embiid, who's having himself a night too, you got yourself one hell of a task in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this right here and kind of the way I thought, you know, when we talked about it yesterday, that we were – the Philadelphia was going to be done right here, but this is not a recipe to win this series. I mean, the last 17 seconds right there with what Maxey did right there. I mean, that's not something that you can easily duplicate again. I mean, although the series, these last two games, I mean, they just kind of flipped right there at the end.
I don't know if Maxey can do that every night.
No, I don't think so either.
Like Maxey's had one hell of a season, you know, this year being the starting one for the 76ers, but I don't know if Maxey is top 10 player to where he can put the team on his back like that every night and go out and get 40. That's uncharacteristic.
No, I don't think so. But hey, we have a series, so there you go. Because I don't even think we have it.
I still think it's New York. I think it was again. Shot his ass off last night. I don't know if you can repeat that and you can get that type of performance night in and night out. I think there's just too much coming from New York, who had a very off night last night.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Good timing the way all of that worked out. So Philadelphia wins that one. So we continue right there. We were singing the praises of the Magic yesterday, and they go down. I guess it's not really that out of unorthodox, I guess, for that. But Cavaliers, Mobley. I mean, boom, there you go.
That's where I'm at, man. Cavaliers without Jared Allen, able to shock the world and keep this thing going. You want to sit there and throw tomatoes at me all damn night and say that I was wrong? Yeah, I absolutely was wrong. Hey, look, man, and you know, to do it without arguably one of the best rim protectors, you know, in the NBA, right? And to have Mobley actually come up and not just fill in, you know, and do what an average
like take over.
I don't know if he took over, but he was definitely the key for them winning last night. Yeah. Like being able to close it out in the last 2 minutes, Mobley was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know if he took over, but he was pretty damn good last night.
Right. And the Bucks. I mean, we were concerned about the Bucks. I mean, with Giannis out and Dame out, and
I don't know how the hell that happened.
I don't know how that shit happened either, dude. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I said, you got to be kidding me. I mean, your top two dudes out, and you managed to win that game last night.
You know what that was, Rodney? That was clearly all Doc Rivers.
Got to be. I mean, the genius that is Glenn Doc Rivers. I did see that on the Twitter where somebody, you know, obviously trying to start some shit. Was there you go. He had something up his sleeve right there. That's Doc. That's right.
Just pulled it out. All right.
Doc Rivers.
Before we get out of here, let me tell all these pickleball players about Pick Sports Gear. If you guys are ready to gear up with all that sports gear that's designed right here in Austin, look no further. Look no further than right here at picksportsgear.com. Their equipment is crafted with precision and passion right here in the heart of our city, known for its love and sports and innovation like we've been talking about. From top-of-the-line paddles to premium accessories, they have everything you need to dominate the court in style like your man Wax. Plus, keep an eye out for the demo days. One just happened right there at the crossroads. We got more coming up next week. We'll keep you apprised of that. Check out the websites for locations and details on those demo days coming up. And also gear up with Pick Sports Gear today. Get ready because their clothing line drops this summer. You've already seen the hats that are out there. You've seen the paddles that are out there. They got some shirts that are coming out. Real cool, keeping nice for that Austin sun that's blaring down on you. Make sure you go to the website and check them out. Show off all the Austin-made excellence on the pickleball court. Now go play some picks. Learn more at www.picksportsgear.com. That's PIXsportsgear.com.
Wags, one more time, I got to run. 2 days in a row, I've got a package coming I have to sign for. Be right back.
Where you got to run to?
To the front door.
To the front door. All right, I'll talk about more basketball here until these other guys come on. So we got we also have the Heat and Celtics tonight, and we have the Clippers and Mavericks tonight too. We'll go ahead and break down the Clippers and Heat matchup first. Bam Adebayo had a decent night in the last contest. But look, no Porzingis. We kind of talked about this yesterday. With no Zinger there, you'd like to think that the Celtics shouldn't struggle too much with this. They should have some decent guard play with White, Brown, and, of course, the X factor with Jason Tatum, right? I think, you know, just with those top three for the Celtics, that should be more than enough to take down the Heat. We talked about Adebayo having a decent game last performance, but, again, he's going to have to basically put the team on his back. It can't be all on Hero, right? It's got to be more of a Bam game for me, just because that's where the advantage comes. If Miami does have an advantage right now, the advantage comes in the front court instead of the back court, just because of no Kristaps Porzingis. I think you have to utilize that. And if you're Spoelstra will probably see that and try and use that as his game plan for attack, right? That's where I would think. You can't win it. You can't live and die on the perimeter against Boston. They're just too talented there. So you're going to, especially with no Kristaps, you're going to have to take it in and try and use that to your advantage as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's the only way that I see Miami coming out of this with a victory.
Yeah, you know, I think it really is one of the things like we were talking about with Boston, to where I am concerned that when they get through all of this, once they get through the Eastern Conference Finals and get to the finals, if indeed they get there, to where how truly are they going to be tested? Because I think I don't want to say that Boston is maybe taking a little bit taking some peeling it back a little bit. But kind of seems like they're cruising at times because they don't have to, because they're not really getting tested.
I don't think they're in cruise control. I mean, I think it's kind of what, remember when we had Satish on here
last
week, and how, you know, he was talking about, you know, one of the biggest identities. I don't know if you've watched Boston all year long, Rodney, but what Boston does is they usually go in these spurts, these lulls, to where they don't score for 3 to 5 minutes. And that's not just an anomaly of what's going down in some of their games. Like, that is an actual identity of what goes on with this team. Like, they go in scoring droughts a lot. Yeah. I mean, not just 1 minute to 2 minute droughts. Like, there's sequence after sequence. I mean, 5 minutes can pass to where, you know, the Boston Celtics just don't score. But then caveat to that, you know, to counter that, there's times where they just go on nothing but runs, and they're still one of the most, you know, the high powered offense in the damn East. So, so there's that. That's why I think Satish was so adamant with the fact that, hey, Boston can be beat. You just got to have a team that constantly grinds like New York does. And he's got a pretty good point to that. Like, sometimes it's just it's a matchup. It's an identity matchup, right? Some teams just match up better against other teams. And I think New York, especially with this whole thing with Kristaps now, all up in the air that, you know, he could be hurt. There's a good chance that New York could grind this down and actually represent the East as the, not the favorites, but as the, you know, the people coming out.
East rep.
To take on the finals. Yep.
Yeah, no doubt. Thank you all, guys. But unfortunately, these are two envelopes that I've been waiting for. No boxes, nothing discreet.
No boxes. What's papers, in the box? What's in the box? From all this
paper shit I have to read when we get done. And I mean, it's like, as soon as we get done, I put my readers on because I have to read all this crap. So, yeah, unfortunately, nothing spectacular. Maybe another day.
Mavs and Clippers tonight, though. We got to get into this before the guys get on for only an hour. Mavs, Clippers, going back out to L.A., that series is tied 2-2. What do you like out of this?
I think I'm a
Mavericks favored 3.5.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's Dallas's time right here. I think this is where Dallas really, really kind of, dude, I don't know. What's Kawhi's status?
Kawhi's out.
Okay. I never know with him. It's like you go game to game. Well, they seem to play pretty good when he's out.
Luke is a game time decision. It's going
to be a Clippers game.
You'd think that Luka's probably going to be in, right? He game time decision. You think that he'll be ruled? Tim Hardaway's already ruled out for the night, obviously.
If Kawhi's out, probably going to lean to the Clippers. In game one, I'm like, okay,
now you're leaning to the Clippers?
I remember game one. I mean, Kawhi didn't play. It's like, what's wrong with him? Whatever. And then
I thought that was a little bit of an anomaly.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just glad.
I'm calling Mavericks tonight. I think Mavericks take game five.
I hope so. I'm telling you, dude, if you're a Dallas sports fan, tonight is your night. Tonight is your night to chew your nails. Tonight is your night to chew some nails with these two that we have going on. Yeah, that's all right here.
All right, what else we got? Anything else on the docket before we get out of here?
I saw some people touching there with Deion Sanders, with the whole Shedeur Sanders and all that stuff right there. And I saw Deion Sanders in a bitching match with somebody on Twitter or X right before I came on about, you know, somebody said that Shador needs to kind of cool off a little bit and just kind of step back a little bit.
I ain't going to tell another man how to raise his kids.
Right, right. But it's like Deion's over here arguing with this random dude on X. I'm like, dude, just move on. Move on. Both of them.
Yeah. Just move on. Not another story to write. I did see this stuff. I think it's bad business. I think it's a bad look. If you're the quarterback of a team, you should just be focusing on your team. You should be focusing on people that were there before you.
Exactly.
Or the personnel or the roster that was there before you. I also saw his comment or whatnot about how he was calling some dude mid, even though he couldn't remember him or whatnot. That's just like, one, it doesn't need to be said. It doesn't have to be said. And you're making yourself look like an ass.
Wow, that's bad leadership right there.
It is. It's terrible leadership. And I don't know if, I don't want to speculate. I don't know if it's because he's learning something from his father or whatnot, but still, I don't have my shit figured out. So I'm not going to come on here and tell people how to raise their kid. You know what I mean? So
it's only an hour, Jeff.
I just thought it was a bad look. Especially in your that position, you can't lead like that. That's for sure. What's up, Jeff? How are you, sir?
Just let it go.
Yeah. Man. Yeah.
Shut up. Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, man, like it's small potatoes. Like all you got to say is, hey, the guys that are here in this locker room, we know what this culture is about, and we're going to try to prove it on the field this year.
We're focused on winning. That's it.
Go win.
That's all you have to say.
Here's where the Colorado thing gets to me. You can talk about the haters. You can talk about all this, that, and the other, you know, hey, you know where to find me, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's one thing when that is the natural backlash. It's another thing when you invite it.
Right.
And then you react to it.
Right.
You know, that's just like you.
And then you have a problem when you invited it, you have a problem. That's why you're reacting to it. Like, well, you brought this mess onto your doorstep.
You can't build your persona off inviting controversy, inviting blowback, inviting.
And then get pissed at blowback.
And then get mad when the vitriol reaches a level that you don't like.
Yeah. Yeah. And the whole thing for me, it's a bad look for the program because it's like everything with what Coach Prime is doing, it's like it's all about his kid. And it's like, okay, is this your kid's program or is this Colorado?
Well, I think he's getting his kid's dollars up. He's trying to get his kid to the NFL.
That's absolutely.
I think as, you know, between, you know, whether it's Sean Lewis, Tim Brewster, like there's some really good coaches that were on that initial staff that were either forced out or couldn't wait to get out. That to me says a lot about the inner workings of that program. Because trust me, I've seen it at times at Texas. There is nothing that will sink your ship faster than a dysfunctional staff.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Well, that's why you had all the turnover, you know, for so long, because it was
ego kills, guys. It doesn't matter what level ego is at, ego will bring you down. Ego.
I'm sure you saw that in the military.
100%.
You know, it's
a we thing, not a me thing, man. And when you want to be John Rambo, you're going to get the squad killed.
Damn sure. Hey, man, I saw it at my previous employer, how ego can get in the way of a lot of things. You know, it doesn't matter business, the military, a team, whatever. If you get ego involved, it's not.
It's cancerous,
man. You gotta check that stuff at the door, man.
Yep.
You check that out.
Yeah. You function way better as a united front and as a mechanized machine, man, or mechanized machine, a well-oiled machine. Yeah,
And I think the other part, like Daryl G's talking about right there, I don't care if it's a football team, I don't care if it's a business or military, whatever you guys are talking about. When there's a problem, you go discuss that within your ranks, within your people.
You don't put it out in public.
You don't need to jump on this only social media things and start just arguing about stuff. I mean,
I wanted to bring this up real quick. We talked about like having, you know, complaining, like inviting nastiness onto your doorstep and then complaining when it gets there.
Yeah.
We talk about that, but it's like, that's all that this gen. And I can't even say that this generation, because we have people that are older than us that are doing this now, but it seems like that is just the recipe for everybody's daily dose, is to invite shit onto your mat and then complain about the shit getting there after you invited it. Like,
yeah.
I feel like that's all America. That's not just what America does. That's just what all of the world does. They just want to be the damn play the victim, and you will be the fucking victim.
That Wags.
This thing right here is powerful to people. Yeah,
I think there's a couple things that go into that, Wags. I think one, there's a reason why in my line of work, I'm at the point, 15 years ago I might have done this. I no longer seek out things that people may say about me, good or bad.
Right.
Yeah. Because I know if I look for the good long enough, I'm eventually going to come across something that I don't want. And I've decided, you know what? The only person that's making an effort to find this stuff, to seek this stuff out is me. So if I just eliminate that step, I'm going to be a lot happier day to day. So I think that's part of it. I think the other thing too, and this kind of bleeds into a UT sports discussion, but I was talking to David Pierce after the game last night, and Will Gasparino and Kimball Schuessler both said to a man, they're like, you know, that day after they lost that UTRGV game, so we had some pretty tough conversations. It was like a come to Jesus meeting on that day after, on that Wednesday. And I asked David Pierce, so what was the gist of that meeting? And he said, really? He said, the only message was accountability. Like, you got to be accountable. Yeah. And excuse my language, I like to, you know, keep my cuss words in the holster, but I think it really needs to be said. People don't want to be held accountable for the dumb shit that they say.
Right.
Yes, you have a right to say what you want.
Yeah.
But I also have a right to tell you what I think you said is 100. Stupid. Here's why.
Yeah.
100.
And that's where
it's not your freedom. It's not my freedom. It's our freedom. That's what we all got to realize that shit too. Not to give you a political stump speech or nothing like that, but it's everybody's country. It's not your country or my country.
And it's like, I can tell you guys, like, covering the racing stuff as in depth that I do, people send me shit all the time. I mean, whether it's DMs or whatever, and I'll get it. And if it's something that I'm going to run with, I'm going to contact that person. And I tell them, okay, you know, I'm going to contact the other party first, right? Do you really want me to do that?
Right.
And a lot of times it's like, well,
yeah.
Like, let's slow the roll a little bit.
Slow down.
I'll tell you. I'll be honest, man. I think Jordan knows the Baylor outlet that I'm talking about. That they were our 24/7 sports affiliate during the Art Briles stuff, and it was like, okay, you can say all these things on your message board, but understand it's going to get out, and when it gets out, I can't defend anything you said because it's right there. There are screenshots. There's stuff I can go to right now and look at it. So I'm not just going to blindly defend you just because we work in the same company. Like, you need to be held accountable and responsible for what you say in a public forum. And people, like you said, Wags, people more so want to play the victim. They just want to
always the victim.
Set a fire in the woods and then run off and act like nothing happened. No, that doesn't. World doesn't
that
work.
Ain't real life, man.
That's nope. Right. One more time before we get out of here, man. I know we've been keeping it real, but it is athlete of the week. We're going to keep it a little bit softer here because Jordan's on. Yes, she is a female Greece water polo Olympian, and she's a champion.
Greece is the word today, my friend.
Greece is the word. Greece is the word. We'll leave you with that.
Y'all remember that old Jeff Foxworthy bit about when the Olympics were going to Atlanta? And he was talking about all the things since rednecks were doing it, that all the things that go wrong. He's like, they'd have to cancel water polo after the first two or three horses. The Olympic rings will just be five old tires nailed together.
There's that Jordan Scruggs look again. Right there. He's like,
what's up, guys? All right, gentlemen, y'all have a great Wednesday, man. Athlete of the week.
Good show.
Nicole Eva.
Nikki.
Not going to work here anymore.
Not going to work here anymore. That's right.
All right, man.
But you guys be good, man. Have a good
Shout out to Mike Judge. All right.